As American culture is secularizing, we have an opportunity for this to become much easier for us. The church is being disestablished from the rest of the community. Already happened in some parts of the country. It's happening now.
The world is crazy. It's all a sign of the times. They think we're crazy. They say we're out of our mind.
It's happening now everywhere.
There's something we're facing. I'm hoping you know.
You know.
And we can't escape it. It's everywhere. Every time, man, that I look over show.
Oh, no.
Some people are searching, they hurting, they're looking for purpose, but not in religion.
Oh, no.
They say it don't work, in particular Christians are using the church as a business.
They say
they're tired of the silence, they're turning to violence. Some people just don't want to talk no more. The culture has shifted since Ferguson, Eric Garner in New York and in Baltimore. Look at Chicago with real music, youngins, they gunning and dying by the minute. Shout out the churches, the deep and the strength, being the witness and making a difference. Let's switch for a minute. Remember the case with Governor Pence in Indiana.
I know.
They challenge religious liberty, eventually putting our faith in the slum. The LGBT community collectively standing for discrimination.
Not true.
Over the sexual orientation. We can't afford to ignore what we face.
The world is crazy, it's all a sign of the times. They think we're crazy, they say we're out of our minds.
51-50, the world's going 51-50, can I get a win? Deep in the drink, 51-50, the world's going 51-50, can I get a win? Deep in the drink, they're applying the pressure, but keep in perspective,
okay.
That we do not wrestle with people, but demons are scheming to reject the mess.
So
the kingdom of heaven progresses, so Satan's regime is extremely feels threat.
You know.
But for God and his wisdom to put us in this position, we should think it's a bless.
We should.
We're tired of the statement that this is a Christian nation. Finally, that culture wall will fall.
Finally.
And the gospel will flourish, authentic conversions, all as a result of the culture war.
Finally.
That's why we connect with the people and help restrain evil through policy shifting.
We
Christians who get it and socially driven. All cause we know it's a holistic mission.
So
now let's switch for a minute. We gotta consider that this is a post-Christian nation.
We know.
Or a pre-Christian nation. The point is to say that the people don't know where we stay.
I get it.
So we can't just be positive. Gotta give gospel reasons we believe in the faith. The biblical way that our conscience is shaped. With the kindness that backed up our articulation.
The world is crazy. It's all a sign of the times. They think we crazy. They say we're out of our minds.
51-50. The world's going 51-50. Can I get a win? Deep in the drink. 51-50. The world's going 51-50. Can I get a win? Deep in the drink.
We have the opportunity, as the culture secularizes around us and as the church becomes increasingly strange, to question ongoingly, how are we not reflecting the kingdom of God within our church structures? And then for our church structures to form the sorts of consciences that are able to speak to the outside about questions of the common good and public justice in a way that doesn't lead us inward and it doesn't lead us outward, but it leads us
forward.
That gives us the opportunity to maintain distinctiveness and engagement at the same time.
Amen, 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 amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome to another exciting training day. This is a day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. It's brand new, never been used before. Amen. It's another way God says, I love you. Keep on going. Amen. The best is yet to come. That's a blessed place to be right now, because that is only true for the body of Christ. That is only true for the body of Christ. Amen. Giving honor to the Lord God Jehovah, who is the creator of all, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The savior of all. The only way, the only door for salvation. And the blessed Holy Ghost, the only one with the authority and power to keep us in these last days. Amen. Hallelujah. To Pastor O, my producer, amen, and his lovely wife and my saints and friends that Running for Christ Ministries, amen, and all the different saints and friends here and there and everywhere, amen, even the gentlemen and gentleladies that are probably tuning in for the first time before or after the rapture, I say praise the Lord. You know, if you're on the radio portion, my brother plays the song, the music, and that song, I listen to the lyrics, and it is so in tune with what is going on today in this world in all aspects. The world is crazy. It isn't that they've withdrawn from, quote, religion. I think they're more outspoken and demanding. They want answers. And I get this because I've lately, 80%, if not 90% of the time I spend on Facebook when I do go on there, is on the page. It's called Christian versus Atheist. And I don't really debate. I'll comment, but I don't debate because I do know that mind change is a heart change, is a result of a heart change. And a heart change comes when a person decides to let God change their heart. He doesn't force the issue. And that process begins with us making intercession. So a lot of times I just sit there and pray over each name. And it's sad that sometimes I struggle to recognize who's talking, a Christian or an atheist. Amen. But let us go before the throne of grace. Hallelujah. So we'll know who's talking. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for this opportunity to come before your throne. We thank you, Jesus, for being submissive unto the death of the cross to be able to come into this heavenly place. Father God, we thank you, hallelujah, for your word. We thank you today. We're asking right now that you would bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we would better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, and the great and exceeding power that you've made available to those of us that submit and obey you. Father God, I ask you, bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, I ask you, bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people. I want it to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, that the last 3 weeks we've been dealing with the mystery of why God let the devil exist. Amen. I follow orders. Amen. And, you know, I remember this Lester Summerall. He say, seek that we should be pursuing the supernatural and not the miraculous, not this is another word he used, but not the miraculous, because we need to know that which is functional and probable functional in our lives. You know, people have a lot of knowledge, and I get that because when you mature, you should learn more. You know, it's sad if you've been a Christian 35 years and you still know less, don't know any more than you knew 10 years ago. Where's the connect to God at? I mean, we tend to, some of us act as though we're not going to go before God. I mean, that is going to be an intimidating event. I'm gonna tell you, I'll be intimidated. I definitely won't look up unless you tell me to look up, because with all that I try to do, I don't ever feel like I've done enough, and I never feel like I've done my best. Because that'll keep you going. You know, I remember when I was working and we used to get these ratings and we would never get a 10. And I asked the sergeant, you know, because I was working hard, doing everything by the book, by the numbers, and come to work on time every day. And I'm like, how come I can't get a 10? He said, if I give you a 10, you won't try to get one. Amen. And I believe God worked like that sometimes. I do know, you know, I remember a message years ago by the late Elder Royal Titus Bosin called Know What You Asking For. And basically, the message was about, if you ask God for something, you know, that the mother of one of the disciples was asking Jesus for her sons to sit with him when in his kingdom, and Jesus like, you don't know what you're asking for. Now they ready to be baptized with what I'm baptized with. Now see, that's a powerful statement. That means something gonna drop on you and it's gonna be heavy, and you gonna have to go through it. So the theme was that if you ask God for more faith, faith always take you, gonna demand that you go somewhere, do something, almost hanging on one thing. God told you to. You're not gonna know how it get done. You know, I mean, it's, you're going to be in the dark zone. That's faith. Faith ain't like hope you can see. Faith, you just, God tell you something, and it's usually something beyond your normal capabilities. You know, you ask for more strength, then all of a sudden all these problems come. Well, you don't need strength if you don't need more resistance against something pushing up against you. See, and I get that. No, most people have never heard that message, but so I don't ask for more faith because I learned something. When you reach a certain level, it automatically will come up. God will not plateau you because, you know, the theme of my program is we are in training. That settled it for me. I don't know if it settled it for you, but it brought an alignment to everything that goes on in life. Even this, think about this. I mean, very few, Lester Summerall, my pastor, very few pastors have really just spent time, it's like they have spent time talking about why the devil exists. And that question came because I it was at a time when I wasn't battling real hard, I'll put it like that, because there's always going to be something. But I just was curious. I'm like, you know, James 1:5 said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who would give to all men liberally and won't call him a knucklehead or something, you know. You know, and I get this because these are some of the things I see on this web page. People ask these questions, and I thank God I have an answer for them. And I could answer them with the word because it's in the word. It makes sense to me because even though none of us here on this side have experienced the full extent of being able to use your full mental capacity, can you imagine that? You know, and I mean, there's some really smart people on this planet, and they still haven't hit, they tell me, the 20% range. Imagine having 100% use of your mind. Imagine having 100% use of all the energy forces. You control the forces. And that is why God sends us through all this drama. He wants us to recognize that tremendous power. I'm telling you, when I was on the SWAT team, I handled the grenade gun. And I'm telling you, they looked at you hard. Because they wanted you to realize, listen, dude, this thing launches small bombs, all right? Don't be playing. Don't be acting silly. I mean, that was a time when nobody was cracking jokes, none of this stuff, man. And this thing shot about 1.5-inch projectiles. The diameter was 1.5 inch. It was like 1.5 by 1.5. That thing could knock a tree down. I'm telling you, it was powerful. You know, and so, the long rifle, the Remington 700, they were very crucial, critical about that, very serious about that power. Same thing, fully automatic MP5 submachine gun, you know, that thing, man, would click off 10 rounds in a second. I mean, so you really, there was a strong, strict regard, wasn't no clowning. No clowning. It wasn't like other times. We'd just be joking around. It was very serious. And God is. Sometimes you got to be serious because, listen, we're talking power here. I'm telling you. God is showing me some things that again, like I said, he shared with me some things that if he haven't shared them with the individual, they just won't know. He told me. I was going to make a video. He said, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Because there's some things, like people debate. I watch this thing about debate about how much time to pray. Listen, that's part of your assignment. I mean, there's so much garbage going on in this world. How can you, listen, you don't have to pray for an hour all the time. Well, I do. Okay, my first prayer today is going to be an hour or more. Okay, and you know, as more as God want to be more here. Listen, when you do that, God empower you. There's an anointing that comes with that. Once you get started, he adds power to do that. Okay. But it, and then as soon as you come out, you know it. It's like it's gone. You know when it's over because you run out of power. So for y'all that ain't never been there. But it's so much. And see, and this is the whole thing. All this works together. Now, this is where all things work together for them that are called by God. Okay? For their good. Because it's part of the process. That was why that scripture really didn't make sense to me for a long time. You know, because people had it all messed up. Like, hey, people have a car accident. Well, you know, all things work together. A car accident don't work for my good. You know what that car accident was? The car accident was probably because God was like saying, slow down. You don't want to go past that corner too quick because it's an idiot coming down the road. But you didn't listen. You busy bobbing your head to the radio. Sometimes we have to be quiet. God is not going to holler over the radio, I'm telling you. Sometimes you do have to be quiet. He got ways of letting you know you need to talk. You know, he'll get in your head, you know. I know with me, sometimes when I hear a song, you know, because I'm sensitive to that because I really don't memorize songs like people do. I have a list of 10 songs that I really had the words printed out. You know, that's not my calling to sing. I wish you would, but I didn't give out assignments. I just took what he gave me. So all these things do work together, but you have to be in tune with God. See, and that's what this is about. That's what this is about is because right now, in this time in history, Satan, he hasn't been given more power, but God is not intervening without the request of the individual. And that means a lot of people will have to change a lot of things because, you know, I was looking at Massachusetts and that they have a drought as bad as Nevada. And I mean, you're talking 70% water drop, river drop, you know, ocean lake drops, 70% decline in water to the point that they're really going to have to start shipping water in. It's becoming critical. And this is because of Satan, not God. And the sin, remember this, you got to keep the order. God loved the sinner. It ain't their sin that's causing the problem, really. It is the lack of knowledge of the body of Christ. Because we hold authority over the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians 2, that's Satan's alias. He can control the atmosphere if we don't resist him. Now, to resist him, we have to have knowledge of the word of God. We have to have the courage and the willingness to even speak to that level. And it's going to take a percentage. It won't take 100%, thank God for that. But this is what's going on. So they're sitting there, and I'm sure people are begging God, oh, God, please send the rain. We want rain, oh, Lord. You said you would supply all I need. And God is like, well, I gave you the power to talk to the devil yourself. That's what the Holy Ghost is. It is, you know, it is the power of God. It was a question as to, what is the difference between the power of the Holy Spirit and God? Absolutely nothing. I know that seems incredible. I know it seems incredible. See, think about that. That does not, that's a booster. Y'all don't know what booster is. It's like putting a supercharger on a motor. His design is to give you more revelation of who you are. Okay, remember I talked about the fact that there are three levels of man. The first generation man is from Adam to Jesus, and then on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came, that became the second gen man, and then when we you either die or get raptured. You go to third gen man where you have full capacity. We don't know the magnitude of that power, all right? person with the Holy Spirit has authority over Satan. This is why I believe the rapture has to occur before the Antichrist show up. Even though I don't even get how a person could come up with the conclusion that the rapture is going to happen on the same moment that Jesus is coming down to rule the planet. I'm like, everybody's got that from a brick. They ain't get that from God, you know. I asked the guy online, did you get that? Did you confirm that with God? I haven't got a response. Why is that? I would not be putting stuff out there I don't confirm with God, okay? Because that's a danger. That's dangerous. People's lives on the line. You're out there putting out information about the Lord. No. No, you put the Lord, man, please. That's what, look in Revelation, at the end of Revelation chapter 22, there's a danger about taking from the Bible and adding to. God said he had the plagues to you. So, but this is what's going on right now. And as we move forward, you're going to have to know how to defend yourself through the power of God. You got to quit playing, saints. You got to get real. You know, I just found out that President Biden signed an executive order in quiet. Executive order number 14067. And in this order is to make all efforts to get rid of paper money and go to digital currency. You can read it online. You can get it from the government website. They just kept it quiet because Christians know what that means. And I've been saying all along that, the Holy Ghost gave me a revelation, John 16:13, that we would be cashless before Biden leave office. And now I got it in documented. But I ain't worried about that because I got my ticket. I'm going to ride Rapture 1. You know, I'm going to beat my brother to the throne. I know he think he's faster than me, but I'm fast. But anyway, but the point is we are in. I mean, you got all the prophets, and there's legitimate prophets, Ephesians 4:11, folk that heard. I don't even know why people teach against the Bible. It says he gave some prophets. That's in Ephesians 4:11, okay? But, and that's a person that's dedicated. Their life is more narrower than ours. They spend more time with God. And God, you spend time with God. God will make you a prophet. Just know that Satan don't come after you. You ask a pastor what it's like being a pastor. They have a sit down one day. Yeah, that'll be a good panel. What's it like to be a pastor? Man, listen, I've been near pastors, and I'm telling you, I am very defensive of the leadership. I don't care what happened, you know, because I know what happens. See, again, I just heard a prophecy, and this guy from Perry Stone, I'm going to put the name on it, but, you know, I try to keep up with him, but I got too much other stuff, and apparently God wanted me to see this because it was a prophecy of a conversation between two demons, amen, that a man of God, a prophet of God had heard. And in it, they discuss going after the leadership. So I don't be surprised with all this stuff that's going on, except that's the result of a lack of prayer. You know, I look at all the activity that Bishop Butler is into right now, but I also remember I was there as a part of, because it developed my life. First thing God did was develop a prayer force. Saints, if you don't pray for your pastor, I'm going to say this like it is, James 4:17, you in sin. You need to be praying for your pastor. People they can complain. God does not answer complaints, and you get yourself in trouble. Y'all need to read the book of Numbers. I dubbed the book of Numbers the book of pastors once I read it. Because when they got the mouthing off with pastors, with Moses, and I saw what happened to them, shoot, I'm like, man, listen, you can't get me to say nothing negative about a man of God. You can't even get me nothing to say nothing about a child of God. That's what we're talking about today, as a matter of fact. We're going to the defense section. Okay, we've been talking about why God let the devil exist. So we're going to talk about a little bit. I've been talking about it already. Excuse me. How to resist him. And you resist him with your mouth. You got to have knowledge of the word of God. Okay? So we're going to start right now with my Bible at. Second Timothy 2:15. You know, this is for the benefit of my new people, because, you know, it's amazing. You know what? I really got to read this from the King James, because it says it as you need it, you know. And that's something I just heard a man of God say the same thing. He's like, sometimes they just lose stuff in the translation, you know. Now, because I want you to get the difference between these two, all right? Now, this is the King James. It says, this is the key word of the passage. This is why I cannot even understand why they left it out in the NIV. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, mind you, they didn't even have a Bible when that was written. You know, I'm learning some things. For those that don't know, they are printing out now the original Bibles for sale. They were printed, the original Bible, the first Bible that came out in 144 A.D. You can get a copy of that from Amazon if you're interested. If you're like me, I got a collection of Bibles. I'm fascinated because a lot of the books, it was only composed of about 10, 15 books, I believe. About 15, a lot of the books aren't in there. Even the Gospels aren't in there. You know, they came later. You know, matter of fact, they got compiled later. Anyway, I ain't here to teach about how they put the Bible together. Now, compare that to what he says. He said, do your best to present yourself to God. See, study is a type of word. Matter of fact, I need a new mouse. Okay, there we go. Technical difficulties here. The word is spoudazo in the Greek. S-P-O-U-D-A-Z-O. Spoudazo in the Greek. And it's talking about an earnestness. It says to make effort, to be prompt, earnest, diligent, you know, labor, endeavor, you know. In other words, put some serious effort into it. This is how you learn. But when you do that, the blessed thing about that is that God will, that's where the Holy Ghost comes in to work with you. But if you don't do nothing, he don't say nothing. You know, you got to be actively involved. It's because you're supposed to learn the way of God. Matthew 6:33, it says, seek. That's another working word. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, it's strange. People go all up in the, man, people do some weird stuff. They go all up in the mountains looking for the kingdom of God. Man, Jesus said, listen, the kingdom of God is within you. Okay? He tried to explain to that. That was just simple. They looking all over the place. No. If you go back and read the dialogue before that, he's telling you, you need to be focused on God. People are so focused. Satan has successfully brought so much idolatry in the church that is a marketable product, and they think it's normal. And they know, and the thing about it is they know nothing. And this is going to hurt them. This is why Paul said in 2 Thessalonians, he said that it's going to be a great falling away. I see it. That song, I'm going to have to get the name of that song from my brother, because it's people want more. This is what, why God compelled me to write the book in the manner that I wrote it, cover the areas that I cover, because this generation are asking questions that most people don't have an answer for. I mean, I had one guy, he got a little upset that I had an answer. I said, I don't care if you like it, but it's the answer, and it's based on God's word, not my imagination. Believe me, if I if I wasn't compelled, I wouldn't say nothing. I told him, like, dude, you have no idea what kind of person I really am. I am what I am by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, we're just having some more technical difficulties here. Anyway, so where we at? All right, so we got where we just read in Timothy, okay, and the fact is they did have the Old Testament, and all your base scriptures come from the Old Testament because God has been consistent throughout history. He hasn't changed. You say, I am the Lord God and I change not. He don't. Because think about this. Everybody, including David, including Adam, none of them had a Bible, but they had to live by the standard of the Bible. And that's because what's in the Bible was in the heart of God, and what was in the heart of God got transferred into Adam. This is why a person normally knows right from wrong. You will notice, you had to be trained to become an unbeliever. You had to have, you know, you had to work at that. And I've noticed that because, you know, I was saying that at first that there's no nation of atheists, you know. And the only time you read something close to that is in the book of Judges, where it says that every man did, in that day there was no king, and every man did what was right in their own eyes. And that's why you have denominations. That's men doing right in their own eyes, you know, because none of that can be really supported by the Bible. I'm noticing some pastors, as I've been driving around, have been dropping those titles because when it comes to the end of the day, you're a Christian. That's it. You know, you can add something else if you want to, but you can't define it with the word. You can't say you're a Baptist unless you was born before Jesus. Because you got water baptized, that don't make you a Baptist, you know, because everybody get water baptized. You know, people got, come on, I'm sanctified. Or, yeah, you should be. The Bible says, for you were sanctified, 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, you know. But the point of the matter is here, is that, matter of fact, let's go to 1 Peter, chapter 5. A familiar scripture, at least it should be, in verse 8. We've read it before. And now this I do like, okay? This the NIV, it says, verse 8, it says, matter of fact, I want to read verse 6. All right. And it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your care, your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Now, this is the key verse here. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. None of that. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody but Jesus. I mean, the practicality here is the how you have to engage, okay? It says in verse 6, humble yourselves. You know, when I began years ago, I was struggling with an issue. And I remember this particular time I was going by. I'm going to be point blank with it. I was going by to see a young lady, you know, because, you know, I was only into this about 4 weeks. And, you know, your flesh when you're young is really raging, right? So all while I'm walking over here to this lady's house, I'm hearing this don't go, don't go in my head. And I'm giving myself excuses, you know, about my flesh and what I did, and yada, yada. So it started raining. And I don't think I've shared this maybe twice in the last 45 years. It started raining so hard that it knocked me to the ground. And then when was laying there on the sidewalk. It started forming a puddle, and I would have drowned on the sidewalk. That would look so crazy, man, found drowned on the sidewalk, news at 11. And by then, the rain would have dissipated. I'm not talking about a deep hole here. I'm talking about 1 inch of rain, but the rain was holding me down till I could not move. And for a while, I was scared to go out in the rain. But, so from that point on, I made all out effort. Because that's what it said in verse 8. It said, be self-controlled and alert. Now, again, we talk in the 70s, the things that you are learning today, we didn't know those. I remember going to a church and being called out by a pastor for bringing a Bible to a church. Can you imagine that? Now, the church I was going to, everybody had a Bible. I found out later they didn't read it, but they had one. I don't know. They seem to think that if you had a Bible, it kept the devil away. No, it draw him. It's actually, it really does. It's like perfume and amongst bees. It draws him, and you'll probably get stung if you don't know what's in it. But it says, be self-controlled. But anyway, this pastor go call me out. I'm like, wow, man, I was there trying to, you know, check over a potential bride. I wasn't there for him anyway. I didn't care nothing about it. Oh, bringing the Bible up in here, checking on whether or not what I'm saying. I'm like, well, what's the deal? But I found out back then. Now, I'm only talking about 45 years ago. I mean, classic example. Pope that's Catholic, you can't find no Pope in the Bible. I'm sorry. You know, none of us, a lot of that they don't. Everybody in the body of Christ is a priest. We ain't got time to play now. This is all about get real. Because if you play in religion now, Satan going to take you out. It's going to be, the great falling away is the great falling away of Christians. Sinners are already away. Some of them are coming. You know, over there in the Middle East, the biggest growth of the body of Christ is in the Middle East, in the hot zone where they're getting killed for becoming in Christ. And pray for the persecuted Christians. Anyway, pray that that God would give them the revelation of how to access his power to defend themselves. Because when you're in this type of situation, when you're in a situation where you don't have defense mechanisms, God will let you use more power. At a different level, you have to understand what that is. Ask God about it. It's in the Bible. I ain't going to tell you nothing ain't in the Bible. I can tell you it's in the Bible, you know, but you'd have to get God to give you the revelation. Me telling you obviously won't make you believe it. But again, that's another area. See, there are things that I found out a lot of the reasons. This is really common when I talk with them atheists, is that, see, they're upset about what happened in their lives. But see, there's been so much spiritual darkness that they grew up in families where there was so much confusion, and God is not the author of confusion. I get that. You know, I get that, because you come up in households where one parent is believing one thing and another parent believing the other thing, and there's no Bible being read and studied and understood. People can quote and memorize scripture. Everybody knows Psalm 23, but they don't know what it's about. See, they don't know. I remember, it was crazy. I was at a funeral, and they asked this assistant pastor to pray, and he sounded like my dear. You know, I mean, he was just like making up stuff. I'm like, really? You know? He said, yea, though I walk down the shadow of the valley, I will fear no dogs chasing me. I mean, that ain't what he said, but it sounded that crazy. I'm like, wait a minute, he can't even pray? This guy must be, anyway. But I understand that. Again, after having a conversation with an individual, I had asked him a question that I thought he knew the answer to. I'm like, you've been saved longer than I've been alive, and you ain't read the Bible. Man, that's crazy. And then I started asking people, and I started finding out people hadn't even read the whole New Testament. Something wrong. You've been a Christian, and I'm going to give you some leeway. If you've been a Christian 2 years, and you haven't read the whole New Testament, something wrong with your connection with God, because you can't do the will that you don't know. And his will is his word. If you've been a Christian 10 years and you haven't read the whole Bible, I mean read it. I ain't mean break it down, analyze it, just read it. Something wrong with your connection. You need to analyze that because Satan is clowning big time. He has no more authority than he has had, but God is not intervening. That even came forth in a prophetic word, and it came forth more than one time. The first part, it was, if you're on the dividing line, sometime in, sometime out, them days is over. You're going to find yourself out there. Satan get a lot of people with prosperity. Believe me, prosperity is coming, saints. I've been hearing about the wealth transfer. It's in existence. Because they're gonna give it and make a profit from it. Believe me, they're not your friend. It's going to come fast and hard. Black folk going to get their reparations, okay? But then most of them will be broke 90 days later. And they won't even know. They'll just have memories of that money. I'm telling you, be quiet. Because what's coming with that? The devil. The devil going to be talking to them. He's going to give them an idea they don't have nothing. This is what he said. What? Be self-controlled. Okay? And alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion. That's the only way you're going to defeat him. Because it goes back to 2 Timothy 2:15. Study the word of God. We got the entire word of Bible. I got my whole library on my phone. And some old books. Dictionaries. I mean, I don't have to make myself watch TV, but we got so much coming now, and God is giving us even more. It says in verse 9, this is 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. Now, they were more challenged than we were. For one, I don't know, I'm assuming this was to the Jewish brethren, and they did have a word, some of them have it, but just like now, you find with any group of believers that there's 20% that's all in. The other 80% diminish as you go down to, I don't know, a clue. You know, you tell them to go to the book of Corinthians and they're looking in the front of the Bible. And I'm not talking about looking in the index. That's okay. I'm talking about looking in Chronicles, and they get confused as to whether that's Old Testament or New. And that's sad because you're not taking God serious. I sat down. Once God introduced himself to me, November 16, 1976, it was so dramatic. I sat down, read. I went and bought a $2 American Revised Standard Bible and just read it all the way through. And I knew then I had to do it for myself. Because I could not, even though I had contact with a man of God after I got saved, and he said something that wasn't biblical, and folk got mad at me I was polite in how I spoke to him, respectful, but he was wrong. I didn't even tell him he was wrong. I was just asking because I was saying, this is what I read. Now explain how that relates to what you said, because your definition ain't matching what the Bible says. Sounded out of context to me. But I knew men would do that. And then I began to see other things. Like I say, I looked for certain things while I was reading through the whole Bible. When I was reading through the New Testament, I was looking for the assignment of the Pope. When I was reading the Old Testament, I was looking for the assignment of the Pharisees that I read about in the New Testament. And I didn't. But I did get a book on that. Found out they were born during the time Israel was in captivity. That much I knew, but I got more details. But it's the same thing. They decided to change things. See, and this is the whole point. One of the key factors to getting prayer answered, the key factor to getting the promises of God, the key factor to being able to access the authority that you have and the power of God, you got to be in alignment with God. Your life, you need to know your assignment. I don't care if your assignment is to be a greeter at the door of the house of God. Don't tell me you don't have one. If you've been there a month, you should be seeking one. God is too good. Listen, you're going to live trillions of years in a heavenly manner. Matter of fact, they just fired up the James Webb Telescope. telescope and they're taking deeper pictures in outer space than is what I thought. They ain't going to get a picture that they thought they would. But it's showing you the glory of God. Your relatives that's dead in Christ and been all out there and played in that stuff. They know what everything is. They done traveled. They done been to Alpha Centauri. They done been further than that. They done been all the way to the throne of God, which is on the other side of heaven. This is too great for us. And God will, you mature yourself. I'm telling you, God, he'll fix your conversation with you. You're like, I ain't talking about that, but he's a mighty God. I'm telling you, we're coming into something great here. I'm telling you. And this is what God wants. This is the reason. I think about this now. Look at all the drama going on in the world. You know, one of the complaints, you know, this is the deep part. They killed themselves with this about the evolution of man, but I'm like, well, explain the mass murder, because that don't sound too evolved to me. See, without God, we can't manage. You know, God, see, and the thing is, they don't like the answers I give them. I'm like, God put y'all in charge. That's what it is. Genesis 1:26 is still in effect until Jesus Christ come and sits on his throne in Jerusalem. Up until that time, we are in charge. So if we don't use the power that's given under the guidelines that it's given, you know, Romans 1:20, it said the invisible things of him from the creation of the world can be clearly seen, being understood by things that are made. Now let's take government. You take our form of government, a democracy. And I really think they meant to just say them crazy. But anyway, it's still, each level and each office comes with a certain amount of responsibility. And it's the same thing God is trying to get us to understand. As we're going to be his government officials throughout the universe, we are going to have power. Look at what these people are doing with power right now. All they can think, they are so caught up in more money than they could possibly spend and find something to spend on other than people, that they just drunk on it. They are drunken on it. And that's what that relates to, the whore of Babylon. But listen, and this is what God is trying to get us to understand. And Jesus, this has come back to, it all goes back to the summation, Matthew 22:37-39. He said, learn to love the Lord your God. Listen, that means you're not going to be easily in agreement with that, with God's order. It's going to happen. You know, it's going to happen. Just all I can tell you is from experience, just do it. And you'll grow into it. Don't be resistant, you know. That's another common thing I find with atheists. They follow Satan's idea of not wanting to be in submission to God. And see, and that's what this whole life is about. Because, again, you take law enforcement. They rogue officers. This is an officer, y'all know about it. He's in jail. Why? Because he didn't go by the rules. He was given authority over people's lives, and he did not do what he was required to do, and now he's locked up in prison. And that's what happened with us. The only difference is God only has one sentence, life without the possibility of parole in hell. I mean, that ain't worth it. That is not worth it. Everything. But again, if you comply with him, it bless your life. I'm telling you, God is increasing me right now. I got my economic stores are increasing for the... I'm going to tell y'all something. This economic crash is really just coming. Don't. See, that's the other thing. They know it's coming. It's got to come. But that's a controlled event. That is not like the weather, even though Satan behind it. And if you are seeking God right now, and I'm not the only one preaching this, that's for sure, he'll give you a plan. I was listening to a gentleman, Morris Murillo, one of the Murillos, and he was saying the same thing. See, that's what I look for with pastors, with men of God. If you're going to tell me what the problem is, tell me what the solution is, and if I don't like your solution, I'm through with you. And the solution is always, you need to be in alignment with God, and that's what I'm trying to get y'all to see. That's if you don't learn nothing else. Doesn't matter if you don't remember all the things about why the devil exists. Just remember, you need to check yourself out. Ask God. He'll let you know if you're out of order. He will not bite his tongue. I can guarantee you that. He will not bite his tongue. And that covers a lot of territory. You have to be conscious. See, there's so many areas. And again, like I say, if you become sensitive to the Holy Spirit, he will guide you. He will let you know. Like I tell you, you know, that people talking about, they had this phrase with married people talking about opposites attract. Well, that's part of the program. That is part of the program. Because, you know, the one thing, when you read the definition of love in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, you'll find right there that it's telling you, you're going to run into an opposite. You're going to start out together. Everybody start out together. That's why they end up getting married. They come together. But then, see, Satan comes into the picture, or one of his henchmen come into the picture. And again, they exist. Why? Because, see, we say things, and then comes a time to prove that we mean what we say. You know, when I say I love you, you can tell the difference between eros and agape, believe me. I had to learn that. And today, we have more information on that. And it's sad, you know, that was it's amazing all the complaints these folks have. Some lady years ago talked about how men used to beat their wives. I was surprised to find out that the rule of thumb was some judge's order was you could beat your wife with anything that wasn't wider than your thumb. Well, that's what brought forth a lady named Lizzie Borden, but she was, you know, that's dangerous. If I beat my wife, I had to sleep with one eye open all night long. That ain't happening. I don't want to take the risk. But then again, it's the simple fact. I remember when I was years ago and God said, that's my daughter. And I'm telling you, if you ever ran into her randomly and if you know who she is and you ask her, if your husband ever raised his voice at you, she had to think back, it's going to be 50 years, 40 years, at least 40 years. I didn't want God. That was something different then. I'm telling you, God got these levels. You know how you can tell, you know how y'all, and I know with women, ladies, you are by design more spiritually sensitive than men. You are by design more spiritually sensitive. That's why y'all can hear a baby and know something going on with a baby, and you two rooms apart, and yet you know the baby woke, and the man left. He sleep, he don't have a clue. That's by design. That's why old folk, you never grew up. I remember my mother had me go look for my older brother when he was 66 years old. That umbilical cord, they cut the physical part, but you can't cut the physical part. All right. My point in this is that Satan will manipulate that, okay? And guys, you got to know this. You got to know this. they got a higher sense. They have a higher sense. They have a higher sense. Don't lie to them. Believe me, they got LIDAR. I'm not talking about that stuff they use to drive these autonomous vehicles. Now, if you don't tell the truth, they can hear it in your breath. I learned that with my mother. My mother taught the CIA how to read expressions in your face and tell if you're telling the truth. I really believe that, too. But the point of the matter is right now. See, you don't, 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. But again, if you, my brother, we can tell you, if you just go from driving a regular car to driving a hot car, a race car with higher horsepower, I mean, it's different. So you really have to get practice at handling that power. See, and it's good to know. It's good to know. I'm telling you, I've said it many times before. I don't get blackouts. I get brownouts. The power company can cut my power down, but Satan cannot take my power out. And that's going to become critical going into the future. That's going to become critical going into the future. And folks out there, if you're out there in Nevada and you're in California, you got a drought going, y'all need to get a group together and start praying. If y'all be the only one to get rain, that'll make the other folk ask, how y'all getting rain and we ain't getting rain? It was a farmer, Charles Capps. That's what was so significant about him as a man of God. That man had a successful farm. It didn't matter about the rain because he knew the rainmaker. See, and that's why people listened to him, because his farm proved that he could get rain when nobody else could get rain. This is what God is telling you. So if nothing else, you'll be able to protect yourself, because I'm telling you, as we go to the end of the days, things are going to get more challenging for those, particularly those, the statement of "I don't know what to do" should not come out of a saint's mouth. Because you go, whatever way you know how to pray, start there and go before God. You know how to, I'm telling you, praising God and praying, that creates a sensitivity to God. And then you got to be quiet, and he will talk to you, and he will guide you. And don't, the first step is not all the steps, but the first step is to see if you're going to do what he say do. See, excuse me. But see, and that's how God operates. And this is the whole thing, because like I said, Satan exists. He's going, but you can resist him. He does not have, if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he does not have authority over you. He can't possess you. He can't even possess your possession. If he got your stuff, you need to get your stuff back. But again, he understands how that works. He knows, one, you got to have a covenant. He knows you got to watch what comes out of your mouth. He knows you can't be stealing from God. He knows you got to be doing your assignment. Like I said, most churches, if you serve as a usher, you only have to serve like once a month. Now, come on. Now, for what God has given you, you can't walk down the aisle and then guide somebody to a seat for once a month. Something wrong with you. Do you know the God that you serve? Read the whole Old Testament. That's our God. And I have a minor position. I really like a minor position. I ain't going to get into that. I call it minor anyway. At times it gets busy and it gets challenging, but it ain't never got too busy compared to what I'm going to receive. And Paul said, like Jesus said, for the joy set before me. All right. I mean, really, we have power, and you want to be able to access it. And again, I have to remind you, saints, you have to do this. I know you want a scripture to say, you must tell angels, thou shalt challenge angels every day, that they must guard your children. Listen, let's do the math. Okay, we just saw 19 children get killed. Now, then angels don't just automatically work. If they did, then their power and their numbers are so great that it is no way all this trauma would be going on. So then there's a criteria required. Do the math. The world sees it. They want to know, if God got all them angels, why is all this happening? Because they are servants to the heirs of salvation. And if you know anything about people that serve people, if you don't tell them, they won't do nothing. They know certain responsibilities they have. But again, this comes, I expect you. Paul said, prove all things. Go to God. Go to God and ask him. And he'll set it in your spirit. And come on, you're talking 10 seconds? Father God, I command the angels to guard my children this day in Jesus' name. That's it. That's all it takes. And then you got to live right and talk right. That's the other part. That's the part to get people. See? And the Holy Spirit will let you know if you're out of order. Believe me, I don't get to get out of order. So if he do it with me, he'll do it with you. You know? He do it with me, he'll do it with you. You don't even like me doing spiritual eye rolling. I still ain't figured out what that is yet. But anyway, we still on this, you know. But now we're working on the other end on how to exercise your authority over that devil that is allowed to rule in Rome. He is the god of this world, of this age, and this time, which is coming to an end. But he's kicking up. He's really working hard overtime. You see what's happening almost every weekend, and there's a mass killing again. And be sensitive. If you feel in your spirit, and I've had this more so lately than when I was working, if you feel this negative in the center of your being, pay attention to that. Start asking God for instructions. That's a warning from the Holy Spirit. He's not in your head. He transfers information from your spirit to your head. But if you feel something negative, you go on Kroger and you just feel like oppressed and it just, no, God knows something. Look around. And see, this is the other thing, too, man. We out of time. You better tune in next week. We're going to pick up right there. You want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. That's one of the benefits of being Christian. Only Christians have that. That's what separates us. I had a guy, he wanted to debate that. And I'm like, you can't debate it, brother, because it only comes from God, the God that you say you don't believe in. So you have to deal with you and your little peanut brain. Y'all pray for me because I have a tough time not calling them idiots. Now you know. But amen. But anyway, so if this is the first time you're hearing this, or and you've never asked Christ, that's so, not asking Christ to come into your heart is like not signing a contract. I signed some contracts today, and then without my signature, they don't mean nothing. That don't mean nothing. The deal ain't getting done unless I sign in. And that's what you're doing. You're giving God the legal opportunity to come in and commune with you. See, that's why he devised the Holy Spirit. It works on an individual basis. All right. So all you have to do is say this prayer, because what's happening when you're asking Jesus to come in, he has to come in and clean your spirit up so that the Holy Spirit can come in. It can't be no other way. Can't be no other way. Because if the Holy Spirit come in there and clean up, you die. Period. That's what happens. That's the cleansing power. So to avoid that, that's why it's the process I went through. Look at the section on the anointing and my YouTube videos, and pray as you listening, and you'll get it. But pray this prayer. Lord God in heaven, I believe your word. I believe you. I believe you sent your son to die for me. And I believe he died and he rose again and is alive now. And I believe he died for our sin, and I acknowledge and I ask forgiveness for my sin. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and save me now. And I say with my mouth and I believe in my heart, I am saved and I am born again and I am forgiven. And that's all it takes. You know, that's the amazing thing. People will spend eternity in hell for something that took 15 seconds to do. It's sad. But anyway, just keep this in mind. Prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. And God is love. Shalom. See you next week.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Here we go.
Here we go.
A little run.
Little run.
No sweat.
No sweat.
I can do it.
I can do it.
You can do it.
You can do it.
Hoorah.
Hoorah.
I love God to you.
Tell them bring their guns out. Get my city up in play.
Now, go get the yellow tape. Hey, put me 6 feet in the ground and watch a great escape. I promise ain't a six shooter that can keep me down. My God's so official, that's a technical foul. Was engineered in my mother's womb for God's glory. Plenty faith in the persecution is inventory. I've been spinning the faith, still exhibiting grace. Kicked out many a place just for sharing my faith. My belt tight, shoes lace, plus the press plate. My war helmet on, now I got my hair straight. The battle's on, but the war is over when Jesus reigns. If I was name, I would stand the pressure and take the pain. And if they drop us, this promise, we'll take him to the grave. That tonight we may die, but to die is our gain.
Tell them bring their guns out, get my city up in play. But it won't be.
Okay.